Hey y'all, welcome to the 17th installment of our series, The Grab Bag, and Jesse's Fireside Chats. So, in this series, I'm going to be touching on three main issues. The first and longest being I will specifically elaborate on how the approach that sovereign citizens take to questioning the overreaches of the government is the wrong approach. And the other two short little things being the obvious fact of human anatomy that should have stopped the George Floyd hysteria in its tracks and should deter any future frenzy related to another suspect saying they can't breathe. And finally, I will lay out why exactly it is that we need to overhaul the two-party system and we need to create a conservatarian party. Spoiler alert. Has to do with the values associated with America's founding. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. I think that sovereign citizens do sometimes make some good points, like in general, about the fact that the government overly polices people's lives in ways that are just stupid, like the idea that you have to have your car registered. You have to wear a seatbelt. Driver's license thing, I'm not as against those. There are some like pure libertarians out there who don't think that driver's licenses should exist. I would say that I'm not quite to that point because, you know, you are operating a 1 to several ton hunk of metal on the road, and you're not driving on the road by yourself. There's other cars and trucks, and there's sometimes pedestrians and animals on the road. So there does need to be at least some basic evidence that you know how to drive. Now, some people who have driver's licenses don't act like they know how to drive. So, I mean, maybe we need to rethink that, but that's a topic for another day. The point is that I can see the point of needing a driver's license, but some of this other stuff is a little petty to me. And when it comes to, like, paying your taxes, just not paying them is not going to help. I will explain how that is in a minute. You know, being a jerk in court is not going to help your case, no matter what you're arguing. So let's get into it. So, first of all, when you are pulled over, to start arguing on the side of the road is not the best approach. We have court for that, and I'll get to the way some of these people act in court later. There is a way to act in court, contrary to the beliefs of some of these folks. But if you have problems with the law, the way the law is, you can argue that in court, or you can try to petition for changes to it. None of those will guarantee a change to the law, but at least you have some options there if you really feel so strongly about the traffic laws. But arguing on the side of the road, refusing to obey basic commands, that's not going to do it because you're not going to get the law changed by doing that. You're only hurting yourself and getting yourself into a deeper hole, which I'll get to the bigger theme that ties into here in a minute too. But essentially, if you're pulled over, just behave yourself and then take other avenues to try to change things, affect change later, because that's not the place and the time to do it. Now, I will grant the frustration is that you can't rely on your politicians to change things because they have other voices yelling in their ears while you're trying to whisper in their other ear. And they have other priorities, and so many people, including our politicians, have just been so conditioned by the way that our public schools are and the American psyche collectively as it is nowadays, to just psychologically rely on the government. That's why you don't see a lot of serious efforts to shrink the size of the government, because people just expect the government to do more and more and more, even among the elected officials. That's why whenever any problem comes up, you never see, well, maybe we should repeal this law, usually. I mean, you might see that every so often, and we are seeing some of that right now, but usually it's, oh, let's pass this other law, even though there's already 50,000 laws on the books. You saw that with illegal immigration when Biden was president. Oh, well, we need to pass a law to secure the border, would be the excuse as to why the border wasn't secure. You know, never mind the existence of at least three other laws governing the border and immigration. So, yeah, I can understand those frustrations. And, you know, if you're frustrated with the way the law is, arguing on the side of the road is not the way to do that. Also, not paying your taxes. I don't fully subscribe to the idea that taxation is automatically theft, like some, you know, more pure libertarians do, but I do believe that we need to drastically shrink the amount we charge people in taxes, and the tax money should be used in a way that actually is beneficial and not on a bunch of garbage. And shrinking the size of the government is how, part of how we would ensure that that money is better spent, at least to some degree, because big government is always going to be bloaty and inefficient. And I've been clear that the main tax I could live with, if you know what I mean, is the sales tax, because you're making a transaction in the moment. You're not being forced to continue paying for things you already bought, or for things you received as a matter of chance, like inheritance or, to an extent, capital gains. And, you know, capital gains taxes and income taxes also punish people for working or for starting businesses or for investing. They punish good stewardship and wise use of one's money and abilities. So, you know, I totally sympathize with the idea that taxes are too high and are often spent inefficiently. The fact that we keep paying into a system that just keeps also hemorrhaging money to the point that we are now like $37 trillion in debt. Probably more than that by the time you're hearing this. So I totally understand those frustrations. I could even support where you have to go on and fill out a form electronically stating where you want your specific tax dollars to go. So, like, you know, if you want your tax dollars to go towards, say, roads, bridges, and hospitals, there'd be a drop down, and it would have a limit, like, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 options on the drop down that you could select. I mean, there'd be more than that in the drop down total, but like that'd be the number you could select. And you would go through and select the ones you want. So, like, say again, if you want your tax money to go towards just roads, bridges, schools, and hospitals, and that's it, you would select those four things, and then that's where your money has to go. Otherwise, if your money is found to be appropriated towards things you did not select, individual officials who made that mistake or that decision could be sued or charged with, you know, mismanagement. Not embezzlement, because they didn't spend it on their own personal needs, but mismanagement of funds. Like I could totally see that. I could support that. But, however, comma, that's not the current law. And you can have opinions on what you want the law to be, but at the end of the day, that's not the same thing as what the law is right now. What you want the law to be and what the law is right now are two totally different things. And that's another thing that a lot of these sovereign citizens seem to forget, that what they might want the law to mean or to be is not the same thing as what the law is right now. And just wishing the law away is not going to change it. And I will also say that you can't claim, even if you want a smaller government, even if you want a more constitutional government, claiming you are not a citizen is not going to, you know, that's not going to strengthen your argument at all, because I believe in the Constitution, the preamble says, "We the people of the United States." So, and then to also, some of them call themselves sovereign citizens, and others just, you know, they don't call themselves that, but that's what they are, so that's what others call them. To call yourself a sovereign citizen and then say you are not a citizen is completely self-contradictory. And also, even if you want to seriously argue for a change to the law, you need to cite actual law, not whatever these people cite. Which a lot of the times with these people cite, even if it is from actual law, it's heavily cherry-picked or it's like extremely outdated. So that's something they need to work on, you know. I sympathize with some of their frustrations with the size of the government. But the way you respond to that is not by arguing with the police officer on the side of the road or just refusing to pay your taxes, because neither of those things will actually help change the laws. Those things will only hurt you. So laying yourself out as a sacrificial lamb, that's not going to help your case. That's not going to help you, and that's not going to help anybody else. You're just hurting yourself. That's like, it's like saying that you are upset that some people have to be in a wheelchair, so you're going to shoot yourself in the foot because you can't. You're upset with, like, it makes no sense. I don't even know if that's a perfect analogy. And then also, you know, going back to court, for one thing, you need to cite actual law and law that is up to date. Not 200-year-old law only. Now, the Constitution, that is still something we should cite much more than we do. Because, I mean, it's the Constitution, and it's not a living document or whatever. It is just the Constitution. It's right there. And I will also say that I'm even inclined, especially if you consider just the Constitution without the amendments, I'm even inclined to sympathize with the idea that the Constitution sets the stage for a excessively centralized government. I've read the Anti-Federalist Papers, and I find them to be pretty persuasive for the most part. But even then, going back to a constitutional government would be a good start. And, you know, the Constitution does need to be cited, but not alone. You have to also look at laws that are more up to date. And not just things that are 200 years old, because we don't live in 1823 or whatever. We live in 2025. And, you know, especially if you're in court for a specific offense, like traffic violations or whatever, then if you're going to represent yourself, you need to look, at least know the basics or do the research on the basics of the law that you are being, the law that you are being tried under, or that you are accused of violating, instead of laws that have nothing to do with, say, traffic laws. So I do think they often take the wrong approach. And then also, when you're in court, I've never been to court. I hope to keep it that way, at least when it comes to like being, especially when it comes to like being a defendant in court. I hope to never have to be a victim of something that is worthy of going to court either. But anyway, even I know, as someone who's never been to court, that when you're in court, you need to be respectful of the judge and the other people involved in the process, the attorneys, the jury, if there is one. You need to not talk over the judge, and you need to, if they've answered your question 17 times, maybe that should be a hint that you need to just quit asking the same question over and over again. I've watched some of these videos of these guys in court, and they just, they act like children, honestly. And so, no matter what your grievance is, no matter what you think of the government or the laws or the courts, there is a time and a place for expressing those views, and there is a manner of doing so, and they break all of those completely, because even if you're not in court, we need to learn as a society to stop just interrupting people and talking over them. I thought we learned this in kindergarten, but apparently countless adults fail to know this. And it's just annoying. I hate it when I'm watching people in court. I hate it when I'm watching debates. I hate it when I'm out in person and people just talk over each other, especially when they argue and they don't even let the other person finish speaking. They just hate that. It drives me up. Drives me up a wall. It burns my snot. So in short, I sympathize with some of the frustrations that some of these sovereign citizen people voice. You know my thoughts on government overreach. I've been described by some as anti-government. However, there's a way to behave in those situations. There's a way to act, and a lot of times these folks fail to act in that manner, and instead they act out, and that's not the right approach. And also, you know, what the law is right now is not the same thing as what you might want the law to be. And if you're going to argue for a change in the law in general, or for a favorable outcome in your case, you should make sure that the laws you are citing are not all from the year 1752. So moving on, I would also like to say something about the George Floyd craziness of 2020. Something that should be plainly obvious to anyone with even a basic understanding of human anatomy, but that was apparently lost on a lot of people during that frenzy and even afterwards. And that is, allegedly, he said, "I can't breathe," about 17 million times. And the thing is, and if you're sitting down, if you're standing up, you might want to sit down. If you're drinking some coffee, you might want to put it down, especially if you're wearing a white shirt. If you're driving, you might want to slow down or stop. And I'm going to say it nice and loud and slow for anybody who is failing to catch on to this. Are you ready? If you can say, "I can't breathe, comma, that means you can still breathe." Okay, we got that? Good. So, if you can talk, you can breathe. Because science. Okay? You have to talk, you have to breathe in order to talk. I almost said you have to talk in order to breathe. No, that would be validating their claim. You have to breathe in order to talk. See? I just demonstrated. So, if you're saying you can't breathe, well, clearly you can, or you wouldn't be saying, "I can't breathe." That's why we have the choke sign. You know, if you are eating food and you're choking and you need help and you can't cough, we have the choke sign so that you can visually communicate to those around you that you are no longer coughing, you can't breathe, you need help. Because obviously, if you can talk, if you can say, I'm choking, then you can still breathe, even if your breathing might be compromised. Now, I'm having some trouble breathing. You can say that while you're still talking, because you can still get some air in and out. But if you truly, honest to goodness, cannot breathe, then you can't say, I can't breathe, because you have to breathe in order to talk. Okay, are we good? Good, thank you. Anyway, moving on. My last thought is that we need to create a conservatarian party. We have the two main big parties, the Democrats, Republicans, and we have the Libertarian Party. But the problem with the mainstream Libertarian Party is it caters more towards the socially liberal side, the left libertarians. It does not cater as much to those of us who are socially conservative on at least many issues, but who are also for small government and secession and whatnot. So there needs to be a separate party. And in addition to that, we need to stop where all the parties, like all the debates, all the primaries, most of the votes go to just two parties and everybody else gets like 12 votes plus a couple of cows that somehow voted. Like, this is ridiculous, people. This is not what the Founding Fathers had for us. This is not what the Founding Fathers wanted. They did not want a system where two parties rule everything, two factions. Some of them even specifically were against mob rule. And this is not pure mob rule, but it's not great either. I know that back then they had factions too. They had the Federalists, the Anti-Federalists, the Democratic Republicans, who was the other one? I don't remember. I feel like there was one. But just because it's always been a thing doesn't mean it's always right or it was always what was intended. Okay? If you build a house and 50 years later someone wants to fix the hole that's always been in your roof, so your house has always had a leaky roof, and you just say, well, my roof has always leaked, so it should be that way. That's how it was always supposed to be. No, roofs don't leak. So even if it was always leaking, doesn't mean that it was necessarily supposed to always be leaking. And if anybody purposely designs a house where the roof leaks, they should probably get their head checked. So those are basically my thoughts, that the two big parties, the two major parties, the Democrats and Republicans, they're both for big government, just with slightly different priorities. Neither one is for the small government liberty that the founders intended. And the Libertarian Party caters mainly to the left libertarians, the socially liberal ones. It does not cater to the conservatarians, the people that are socially conservative on at least many, if not all, issues, and are also small government, in my case, even as far as being pro-secession, that kind of thing. So we should have our own party, instead of just being pushed off to the side. And so I don't know how we would do that, but that is something we should definitely look into. And also, we need to stop this where only two parties get all the attention and the other parties are just pushed off to the side like the lettuce, tomato, and pickle you didn't order on your burger. So those are my thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be informative or food for thought, you can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. Or if you feel so inclined, you can send us an email at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest, we would love that. Please just feel free to reach out. If you have a topic in mind, great. If not, I guess I'll just pick one. I don't know. And no pressure, but if you feel like supporting our show with a small donation, you can do so at ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. That's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. And if you've noticed any ads come on when you've started listening to our show, that's because we now have enough listens that I was able to activate that the other day. And please feel free to leave a 5-star review of this show wherever you get your podcasts. And please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and come back next time. Have a blessed day.